Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This exhibition features all four of the Spanish artists' major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. Now on view. More at NortonSimon.org.
You have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
LAist Studios.
A good Sunday to you. This is the weekend edition of the LA Report from LAist 89.3. I'm Julia Paskin, and coming up after the news, one LA family's heartbreaking loss sheds light on critical shortcomings in our healthcare system, where Black people are more likely to experience complications or die in childbirth. Madiana Dale will bring us that story. Then, coding boot camps have exploded in popularity in recent years, with dozens of programs available across the U.S. Julia Barajas investigated the promise and potential pitfalls of these programs. That's all coming up in just a few minutes, but first, here's Sharon McNary with the news.
The LA Sheriff's Civilian Oversight Commission has agreed to send Sheriff Robert Luna a report that calls for the immediate elimination of what it calls the cancer of deputy gangs. KPCC's Frank Stoltz has details.
At a hearing Friday, there was appreciation for the special counsel's report from people who believe their families have been affected by deputy gangs.
Thank you for the work that y'all doing.
But Helen Jones, who claims her son's death behind bars was not a suicide but the result of a deputy beating, remains skeptical that the sheriff's department can change its culture.
Giving them more training and all that, that's not going to work.
Commissioner Lael Rubin said things can change, noting that Sheriff Luna, unlike his predecessor, has promised to make getting rid of deputy gangs a top priority.
We have a willing partner.
Commissioner Hans Johnson agreed.
We have an incredible moment of opportunity here because we have a sheriff who is from outside the ranks of this department.
Luna is the former chief of the Long Beach Police Department. For LAist 89.3, I'm Frank Stoltz.
It's spring break season. That means travel. LAX is expecting more than 12 million passengers from between now and April. LAX spokesman Dave Levine says this spring break will be the most traveled since 2019. She recommends using the flyaway buses or getting dropped off at the airport. But if you do drive, do book your parking in advance.
Pre-booking is the only way that travelers will have a guaranteed space at the airport, so we're really encouraging people to do that since we're anticipating on the busiest days 80,000 cars to be coming through the airport.
Longtime Dodgers manager Tommy Lasorda now has a stretch of Interstate 5 named for him. It's a section of I-5 that runs through Orange County near his Fullerton home. So you'll see a sign reading Tommy Lasorda Dodger Legend Memorial Highway when you pass Lincoln Avenue heading south and Ball Road heading north. A dedication ceremony was held yesterday in Fullerton at a Little League ball field. Lasorda's in the Baseball Hall of Fame. He died in 2021. And the LA City Council has unanimously voted to expand Spanish Live interpretation services for both in-person and virtual committee meetings. The service is already available for regular council meetings. Council member Nithya Raman introduced the motion that would expand it. She says the city has finally taken a long overdue step to ensure equitable participation in the democratic process. As we've been reporting, the San Gabriel and the San Bernardino Mountains are covered in 8 to 10 feet of snow. Eventually, it's all going to melt, and that's causing some concerns about flooding. Alex Tardy is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service who works on warnings. He says when it comes to snow melt flooding, they're concerned with two things.
A rapid warm-up, so really warm temperatures that we all crave for, but that could melt snow too quickly. And then also rain on top of snow, or maybe an atmospheric river or something like that, can also accelerate and greatly increase the flooding and the runoff.
He says later in the month, there's potential for Southern California to get rainy and warm. Now, today, there's not much in the weather forecast that's going to melt that record-setting snow that's got people stuck in their homes. Lake Arrowhead will get up to about 34 degrees midday, but the low temperatures will drop into the upper 20s every night this week through Wednesday. Now, Big Bear will get up to 35 degrees today, getting progressively warmer through the week, getting into the 40s and low 50s by Friday, but those overnight lows are still below freezing, so tough conditions for removing the snow in the mountains. And most of the mountain roads are still closed, including the 330, the 18, and the 38. The National Park Service is looking to make the Santa Monica Mountains more accessible for visitors with disabilities. They've released an accessibility plan and now want comments from park visitors. Items on the plan include updating signage to describe potential obstacles, graphics showing slope conditions, and adding sign language interpreters for specific events. Ana Beatriz Cholo with the National Park Service's comments on the plan are open through the end of the month.
We really want all visitors to provide their input on this draft plan because, quite simply, it'll help us as we work to ensure that our park is more accessible to everyone.
You can find the plan and leave your comments at parkplanning.nps.gov. It's cloudy today with a 50% chance of showers, and that'll diminish later today. It'll warm up to nearly 60 and be a bit windy this afternoon. It's 51 degrees right now in downtown LA, but it's going to be freezing overnight up in the mountains.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Support for LAist comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This fascinating exhibition features all four of the Spanish artist's major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. With over 200 prints on view, this exhibition offers insight into the artist's creative process and the full range of his expressive capacity. Now on view. More information at nortonsimon.org.
Imagine if you could charge your electric vehicle at the places you already love to eat, shop, and play. Whether you're at the movies, on your weekly grocery trip, or running errands at your local mall, Volta EV charging stations are built around your day-to-day and located in your community and nationwide. All you have to do is check in, plug in, and go about your day. It's EV charging made convenient. Download the Volta app to find your new favorite place to charge.
Welcome back to the LA Report. I'm Julia Paskin. Black people are far more likely to die in childbirth or experience complications than other groups. Here's our own Mariana Dale with a story of a family seeking answers to why a woman who knew the risks were high and took many steps to have a healthy pregnancy is now among those statistics.
April Valentine was the youngest of six, as her sister Keisha Cordova.
Everything about her made her the princess.
Cousin my Keisha Mack says the Cal State Northridge sociology graduate worked in a group home and braided and styled hair.
She liked the process of beautifying Black people and making people look pretty and making people feel confident because she was very confident.
Mack says Valentine's style had a reputation in the family.
April is like the queen of edges. April, do your hair, your edges gonna be laid.
Mack was there in October 2021 when Valentine first saw Nyjah Robertson at Melody's Bar and Grill near LAX.
They met that night and literally was like glued to the hip all night.
Robertson says Valentine started talking about having a baby early. He says she hung a pink onesie over their bed until she got pregnant.
She would say, always would say, if you speak in existence, it will come.
He reads the affirmations Valentine had written out on a whiteboard.
I will have a healthy baby girl. I will have a healthy and beautiful pregnancy. I will not have any complications. I will have a good birthing experience.
Robertson and Valentine's family say she was aware of the maternal health disparities. In California, Black people die from pregnancy complications at rates nearly four times higher than the general population. Valentine sought out doula Stanis Askew. Research shows the emotional, educational, and advocacy support doulas provide is tied to healthy birth outcomes.
Everyone involved becomes family afterwards. I always laugh and say, like, so you don't just get rid of me after you have the baby.
Askew says together they made a plan for pregnancy and birth.
I'm actually looking at it.
Askew says Valentine wanted her partner Robertson, her sister Cordova, and the doula herself there during labor and made those wishes clear to her doctor and the hospital.
April had done her due diligence in asking repeatedly, getting confirmation.
But when Valentine checked into Sentinella Hospital on Monday, January 9th, Robertson and Cordova both say the birth plan fell apart. They say hospital staff and Valentine's OBGYN repeatedly denied access to her doula. They say Valentine complained about pain, numbness, and swelling in her legs.
This is what we went through for hours. I could almost hear it in my head. Where's the doctor? My leg. Where's the doctor? My leg. Where's the doctor? My leg. She's coming. That's normal.
I'm asking the nurse, like, is this normal? Is this normal? Oh, the nurse, oh, it's normal. It's normal.
Robertson and Cordova say Valentine's doctor was not there when they saw Valentine stop breathing Tuesday.
I ran in the hallway. I was screaming, yo, help, help, my girl not breathing. Help, please help, get a doctor.
Valentine died. The county coroner says it's investigating the cause of her death. In a written statement, a Sentinella Hospital spokesperson said, quote, despite the highest standards of care, there are certain medically complex and emergent situations that cannot be overcome. Our hospital community grieves along with the family during this deeply sad and difficult time, end quote. Robertson and Valentine's daughter was born by emergency C-section. Her name is Anaya, and Robertson says she shares her mom's brown eyes.
They're beautiful, they're bright, and you just see so much happiness and joy in the eyes.
He holds the baby, something Valentine never got to do.
How do I explain to my daughter that the same day you gotta celebrate a birthday, you gotta celebrate the day your mama left?
This is one of many questions Valentine's friends and family are trying to answer. On January 17th, a week after Valentine died, dozens of people gathered outside of Sentinella Hospital.
What's her name?
April Valentine.
What's her name?
April Valentine.
Mykesha Mack remembered her 31-year-old cousin's mannerisms as they chanted.
No peace.
No justice.
No peace.
Period. You know, you got to put the period. That's what April said.
Mack is the lead organizer of the Justice for April Valentine campaign.
We can fight for what's right. We can do it in a just and righteous way.
A few weeks later, during a public meeting, Mack and others asked the L.A. County Board of Supervisors to investigate Valentine's death.
Okay, we'll now hear from members of the public wishing to address the board.
One of the speakers was Valentine's partner, Nyjah Robertson.
It's hard to even sleep, to even look at my child after just seeing what I seen in that hospital that night.
Supervisor Holly Mitchell broke from the norm and responded during the meeting. She said the board expressed their deepest heartfelt condolences.
And for me, I'll add anger. Because we know of the disproportionate rate at which Black women die during childbirth and shortly thereafter.
The L.A. County coroner says Valentine's cause of death is still pending additional investigation. Research shows the factors contributing to the high rate of Black people dying from pregnancy complications include hospital quality and the stress created by racism. Rebecca Israel Cross studies maternal and child health at the University of North Carolina.
We have to start looking above the individual level to really think about, like, what is happening in the hospital setting, what is happening in the community setting, and what is happening kind of at this policy level.
The California Department of Public Health has opened an investigation into Valentine's death. Health and Human Services Secretary Mark Galli told the Board of Supervisors in a letter that if the hospital violated state or federal regulations, the consequences could include fines or the loss of its license. A Sentinella Hospital spokesperson wrote in a statement, "We are cooperating with all investigations and also conducting our own internal review with quality and clinical care teams." Valentine's sister, Keisha Cordova, says she wants to see change beyond Los Angeles.
Why are these women dying and how can we stop it?
More than 80% of the country's recent pregnancy-related deaths were preventable, according to a study from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Cordova is the mother of two. She says witnessing her sister's final hours in the hospital has changed how she thinks about childbirth. For example, her son just got married.
We've been telling them, when is the baby coming? Baby, 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 baby. Now I feel like I wouldn't dare ask her because now I'm afraid. Now is a choice of, we don't expand our family because we want to keep the ones that are here. That's scary.
Cordova says she wants people to have the healthy birth Valentine planned for.
I hope that my sister's death is not in vain. I hope that it means something, that it saves one life.
Cordova says she prays other families don't experience the loss theirs has. I'm Mariana Dale.
Coding boot camps have been around for over a decade, but in recent years, the business has boomed. Aside from long-standing for-profit companies, prospective students across the U.S. can now choose from dozens of programs with ties to colleges and universities. This week, Julia Barajas, who covers community engagement for LAist, looked into the promise and potential pitfalls of signing up to learn how to code.
Social media is teeming with ads for coding boot camps. Most of them target tired workers looking for a career change, and others go after high school graduates, advertising their programs as a faster, cheaper alternative to earning a degree. The boot camps vary in length, content, and price, but all of them make a similar promise. In less than a year, you can have the skills to land a great-paying job in an ever-growing field.
Have you ever felt true love for your job?
If you want to break into tech as a software developer, then you should check this out.
This is where you learn how the future works, where the whole point of education is to get you a job in a career you love.
You don't need to be in college. You don't need a degree. You can just start.
And those ads can be effective. Back in 2020, Sean Surreal was an overworked restaurant manager dealing with a pandemic. He longed to change careers, but he already had a bachelor's degree from Cal State Northridge, and he really didn't want to start all over again. While scrolling through Instagram, he came across several ads for coding boot camps. In the end, he used the GI Bill to pay for 16 weeks at Coding Dojo, a private, for-profit program that's been around since 2012. And it felt like a godsend.
At first, it was very difficult, but then when I got something to work, I got really, really excited.
For those 4 months, Surreal spent as much as 14 hours a day learning how to code.
Unlike school, where I felt like I was being forced to study this or memorize something. And here, I enjoyed it. And I was like, oh, this is cool. Why does this work? How does this work? And I kept digging into it, asking questions. And I really, really wanted to learn it.
And this story actually has a happy ending. Today, Surreal is a front-end developer who works from home. He has more time for hobbies, family, and friends. He travels. He also makes $30,000 more per year than he used to. But many other coding bootcamp stories end a different way. Because there are so many programs out there, prospective students often navigate a sea of options on their own, and sometimes they end up enrolling in programs that don't keep their promises. In the worst cases, students end up without a certificate of completion, but with tens of thousands of dollars of debt.
We have received complaints from students who attended multiple different coding boot camps.
That's Alex Elson, co-founder of the National Student Legal Defense Network. The nonprofit has helped more than 20 students file claims against disappointing coding boot camps.
Coding academies that provide very low quality programs, they're often short term, let's say 6 months to a year, but they can cause extensive harm to students beyond just the time and money that's wasted. Some of the students we've talked to were lured out of community colleges by this crisp, fancy advertising and these lofty promises of high paying jobs in a very short period of time with no risk to the student. And when that doesn't pan out, at the end of the day, you know, you don't just pick right back up and go back. You can, but it's hard to do.
Elson encourages students to really interrogate things like advertised job placement rates and deferred payment programs before signing up for a boot camp. He warns that if something sounds too good to be true, it probably is. For more information on what to look out for before enrolling in a coding boot camp, as well as what questions to ask recruiters, go to laist.com/learn-to-code. I'm Julia Barajas.
Thank you for listening to the weekend edition of the LA Report. I'm Julia Paskin. We'll be back tomorrow with the AM and PM editions to deliver you more of what's happening in LA and Southern California. Until then, you can read more at laist.com or listen live anytime on the LAist app or on the radio on 89.3 FM. The LA Report is produced by Michael Cosentino. Catherine Mailhouse is the Director of Content Development. Our editor is Megan Garvey, and our engineer is Sean Corey Campbell. Support for this podcast is made possible by Gordon and Donna Crawford, who believe that quality journalism makes Los Angeles a better place to live.
LAist Studios.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.